the book of 1 Peter, and we'll start in just a moment. Brother Lawrence wanted me to explain it to you. Most of you know that up until, until 2 years ago, I went like a racehorse almost every day of my life, preached every day of my life, still do. But anyway, I had open heart surgery and had an aortic valve replaced and three artery bypasses. Then I had a stent put in. Then I went back and had a pacemaker. Now remember, this is 2 years and 6 months out. And I'm not trying to be ugly, but you can't, doctors, I live in this skin. But you tell them, but they won't listen. They won't listen, especially cardiologists. And I kept telling them, something is not right. Something's not right. So back in March of this past year, they went back in and they took the pacemaker and they relocated it. They took it out and put it down between the muscles. Well, I could do this. I could raise my hand above my head, but I was still having problems. So I went back, Dr. Feinberg, he's a Jewish fellow, loves the Lord. And he said, I want to go back from scratch. Which was, they was wanting to do an echosonogram. Then they wanted a nuclear stress test. So anyway, I was tired of feeling bad and tired of being drugged out all the time. And people don't really understand, but about 3:30 or 4 o'clock, as a result of all this, my doctor told me, he said, "You're the hard-headedest man I ever met in my life." My wife, I thought she was going to shout. I said, "Yes, sir, I know I'm hard-headed. I know that." He said, "When are you going to accept that you've had open heart surgery, aortic valve replaced, three artery bypasses, pacemaker?" He said, "When are you going to accept that you've had four major surgeries in one?" Okay. So, after having the scolding, I consented to go have this echosonogram and the nuclear stress test. If you don't know what that is, they put you on a treadmill. And they come out this stainless steel vial about this big that's got crossbones on it. You know that can't be good for you. But they're going to inject it into your body. And your body just lights up inside. This is your heart. This is your kidneys. Just lights up. The brother back there probably had it. So anyway, I consented to that and waited 3 days. And he called me back in, set me down. He said, "You got two options. Number one," he said, "we need to go back and take the pacemaker out." I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "We need to take the pacemaker out and put a 3-wire instead of a 2-wire. I said, "What are you going to do?" He said, your pacemaker is exactly like a car engine. He said, "If you've got 8 cylinders," and he said, it's only firing on 6. He said, your ventricles is out of sequence. And he said, "They're misfiring." He said, "It should have been a 3-wire instead of a 2-wire at the beginning." Well, that didn't go over very big. Not big with me at all. I said, "Excuse me." He said, "You need a 3-wire pacemaker instead of a 2-wire. And he said, "It's a piece of cake, so we can do that." I said, "Yeah, we can do that. My body we're talking about, amen, we're going to..." Okay. So, I said, "Take that off the table. I'm not doing that. Take it off the table." I said, I'm not even consenting to it. Not now. I said, "Not that me praying about it." "What's option number two?" Option number two is we go back in, we get a hold of Medtronic, that's this device, $13,000 just for this thing right here. And he said, "We'll find out what its capabilities are." I said, "Excuse me, you mean to tell me I got something in my body that we don't even know what it's capable of?" He said, "In actuality, yes, sir." He said, "You got this in your body. We don't know what it'll do until we get the text. So here's what I got to do. I'm asking everybody to pray. I'm not going to do anything till I absolutely get a green light from the Lord. Until I know what to do, I'm not going to do it. I'm tired of it. I'm just tired of feeling bad. I'm tired of being sluggish. You got to know me. I like living. I love people. I like to be around people. I'm very people-oriented. But I get tired. 3:30, 4 o'clock, I just get drug out. I just don't have enough energy. Brother Lawrence has been to my house. I cannot walk from my garage from my garage, my unattached garage, to my house without being just exhausted. I can't do it. This morning I had a bad spell. You probably didn't see it, but I had a bad spell. Yeah, I did. For a minute I thought I was going to go out. And they changed the pacemaker. That's probably the result of that. But option number two is they're going to get a hold of Medtronics, and they're going to get with their techs, and they can do this with a computer. They're going to find out what this thing is capable of, what it's capable of or what it's incapable of. And then we'll make the decision as what to do. But I wish you'd really pray for me. I mean that. I want the Lord. I want to run my race. I want to finish my course. Everybody know what I mean? I want to run my race, finish my course, and I'd love to hear the words, "Well done." Everybody tells me slow down, but they don't tell me how to do that. Everybody says slow down. I said, they're notorious for telling you all this stuff. You need to slow down. Well, tell me how to do it, and I will. Get your foot off the brake pedal. But anyway, that's enough of that. I'll be all right. Book of 1 Peter, please, chapter 3. Brother Bradley, I love picking on him. He's singing that song, I know I'm saved. How many of you know you're saved? It's like one time this salesman going down the road, come to forks of the road, and he didn't know which way to go. So he looked over and he seen that little boy, and he said, "Son, where does this road go?" He said, "I don't know." Well, he said, "How far is it to the next town?" He said, the little boy said, "I don't know." Well, he said, "Where would this road take me?" He said, "I don't know." So the salesman got real aggravated and said, "Well, you don't know a lot, do you?" He said, "No, I ain't saved. I know I ain't lost." You'll get that in a minute, Brother Noble. 1 Peter, please, chapter 3. Boy, I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad I know in whom I have believed. Did you know I'm just a heartbeat, just a millisecond from heaven? Can you imagine me in heaven? Whoa. Boy, I love to think about it. The older I get, the more I think about it, the more I'm sort of eager to go. I want to stay here and run my race, but I can't hardly wait to get there. I'm like a little kid on Christmas. Don't y'all ever get excited about nothing? Where is Sharon at? Thought she was going to remind me. I told her, we were sitting at the table eating, and I said, "Miss Sharon, remind me, I want to tell you something." And I said, "Do this, and I'll think you're shouting, and I'll have a spell." I got to tell y'all this. I'm talking about getting excited. I come home the other day from a revival meeting, and I've been out, I don't know how many weeks, and I've been preaching Sunday through Wednesday. So we got this lady in our church, and she is the nicest woman you ever met in your life. Her husband died, and she remarried, and she has got ovarian cancer. And she is a trip. I mean, she is the biggest cut-up you ever met in your life. Well, she lost all of her hair. So her husband went and shaved his head because she lost her hair. You ought to see them two sitting on the pew together. But anyway, Jen is just the biggest cut-up you ever met in your life. I went in and I noticed that she was real down, just like this, just real downcast. I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "Kentucky lost." I said, "What?" People say I'm anti everything. You can make sin out of anything. I got an old 18, Brother Don and Miss Wanda has seen this old cabin. I've got a, Brother Lawrence has seen it. I've got an 1865, 1870 cabin that I took down and put back up piece by piece. Got the old hewed logs, the whole nine yards. Okay, can I not make that thing wrong by loving that thing more than I love the Lord? So I was telling the young girl, what we do, we can't stay in the middle of the road. We either go far left or far right. So in sports, we've gone what? Far right. So, get back to my story. I can go into churches and tell you when Kentucky's lost, everybody's all discouraged. Honestly, I'm telling you the truth. They're just down in the mouth. So I thought that the lady had had her medical treatments. Everybody with me? I thought she went and had another chemo or something. She said no. She said, "Brother Sisson, did you know that Kentucky has got an eruption zone?" I said, "They've got a what?" Oh, she said, called her husband's name. She said, "Yeah, we said we sit in the eruption zone." I said, "Explain that to me." How many of you knew that Kentucky has got an eruption zone? Did you know that? Did you know it, Brother Lawrence? Nobody out. Did you know it, Brother Bradley? Did you know it, Brother Chris? I didn't know it. God is my witness. I did not know they had no such thing as an eruption zone. They sit back there, and when somebody hits them three-pointers, they erupt and go crazy. I told Jim, I said, I don't ever remember you erupting here. I said, I can't ever remember seeing you just having a spell. Boy, you ought to see her when she got, well, you ought to see her, she gets into it, boy. I mean, these sports things. And I was kidding her, I said, she just grinned at me. I said, boy, we need an eruption zone in our Baptist churches. Say amen. So, my preacher said, Brother Sisson, preach for me our homecoming. I said, okay. So I'm rarely never there for the homecoming. Guess who had a fit? Woo! I had a spell with her, amen. It dawned on her. Don't you think that Jesus is worthy of our praise? Boy, I don't ever want to get over the excitement of being saved. Never. I don't care if they say what they want to, but every now and then I just have one of them eruption spells. 1 Peter, please, chapter 3. Look in your Bible. We're going to start reading tonight. 1 Peter, please, chapter 3. Let's read together verse 9. Ready? 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 9. Boy, I appreciate the good meal. You ladies did super. I'm glad I got to come. 1 Peter, please, chapter 3, verse 9. Now, don't forget this. Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin by not praying for you. So you need to put me on your prayer list. Put me in my family. Verse 9. Peter says, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but counterwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Look in verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. 1 Peter 3. Lord Jesus, we love you. I thank you, Lord, for safeguarding the highways. And then, Lord, would you give us, Lord, in the gable end of our souls, help us never to forget where you brought us from. Lord, I pray this Christmas, Lord, may we honor you. Lord, may we think about your birth and your death and your resurrection. And then, Lord, keep your hand upon grace. Oh, God. Lord, I pray you'd speak, Lord, tonight. Help us is my prayer. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 3, if I ask you a question, there's not a one of you in here, I don't think that you would be argumentative with me. Look down in verse 10. For he that will love life, and then see good days. If I ask you, wouldn't you like to have good days in your life? How many of y'all would you raise your hand? I mean good days. In John 10, Jesus said this, I've come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. Boy, I enjoy that abundant life. I enjoy it. God knows my heart. I enjoy living. Sometimes I come down here, I came here early this morning, I get up early. I come down the parkway. What was the lady's name? Used to fuss at me all the time. Oh, Miss Cora used to jump on me. Her and her husband. Jim was his name. My mind come back, didn't it? Ain't that a blessing? It didn't go nowhere. It came back. Every now and then it just wanders off and then it forgets to come back. But I got up this morning and I was coming down the parkway and I was thinking what a blessing it is not to have all them tolls to pay. And I used to come down here and I pulled that camper. And Miss Cora, and I didn't do this pulling that camper. God is my witness. I had my kids and my family together. But a lot of times if I come down the parkway, there ain't nobody there. And sometimes I have something that I want to read. Well, Miss Cora would say, you ain't got a brain in your head trying to read coming down the parkway. Now, I can do that. I can do that and stay in my lane, whether you believe that or not. But I come down that parkway this morning, and I was looking at the moon, and a big old frost looked like a snow. Boy, I thought, isn't life a blessing? I mean, isn't life a blessing? When you really think about it. I'm able to go. I'm not in intensive care. I got my kids have got, I mean, there's none of them that's got a cerebral palsy. None of them's got MS. And I mean, you think about how good God's been to you, and then you'll say, boy, I want good days. But it says he that will love life. Look in your Bible. So I'm going to preach a little while on loving life and good days. I don't believe there's a person in here but argue with us. I want that. I want those good days in my life. It's enumerated in 1 Peter 3, how to have the good days. You know what? I got to thinking. That's dangerous. I got to thinking how that I used to park my camper right back there. Am I right? Directionless? I'm together tonight, ain't I? I'm wrapped. But I used to park my camper right back there. And I had them three kids. Do you remember that time I come down here? And I was coming down the parkway and it blew the skylight off. Do y'all remember that? It must have been 10 below zero. I never will forget it. We stayed in that camper, that 35-foot fifth wheel, when it was 10 below zero. My wife and three kids. And I remember, it's Betty's brother that helped me fix that skylight that blew off. I was going down the interstate, looked down through my mirror on the parkway, and the whole skylight just blew off. So when I got down here, we put plywood on it. But I never will forget it. I was scheduled to be in Florida the week after I was here. This has been a long time ago. I think we stayed here from Sunday. We're supposed to be in from Sunday through Friday, but we wound up staying from Sunday through Sunday, and then from Sunday through Sunday, and then from Sunday through Wednesday. Anybody here remember that? And then guess what? I preached three times a day here. On the radio. And then in chapel. And then every night I preached. Some things I'm not even real sure of. You'll get that in a minute. How many times? 17 times 3. How many is that? 52? But I never will forget. I got in more trouble because we was taking it day by day. Do you remember that, Brother Lawrence? I was supposed to be in Lakeside, Lake Mary, Florida. Then I got in that camper. We drove all the way after all the 17 days it was here, or 17 services, or whatever. And I drove to where I closed out on Wednesday night and drove all the way to Lake Mary, Florida. That preacher was so upset at me. I mean, he was mad at me. Boy, things was going. I mean, here you can't believe it. Amen. Do y'all remember that time we was at chapel? We had a chapel service right here in the old building. And guess what? They done away with the lunch period. Do you remember that? Even the classes in the afternoon. Boy, God, do y'all remember that? What a meeting. Glory to God. Amen. Shoot. But I'm talking about how good God is. I'm talking about retrospect. Look back in your life and see how good God's been to you. Hey, I thought about this. Go back, look in your Bible. He that will love life. Now, anybody knows me, anybody that's been around me a lot, the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I don't want to dry up on God. He that will love life. You don't have it near as bad as you think you got it. No. Hey, this is the dumbest thing. How many of y'all got grandkids? Would you raise your hand? Grandchildren. If they're any better, if you have great-grand, I won't be able to handle it. There's a man come down here and helped us put this roofs on y'all's building. He's got three granddaughters. I'm talking about loving life. He asked me, he said, Brother Sisson, would you go over to our jail and would you visit Heather? He was so down. I said, well, sure, I'll go visit her. He said, why are you there? And they had take three of his grandchildren and put them in the same cell together. You know the reason why? The one girl's a little emaciated thing. She probably don't weigh 80 pounds soaking wet. They had this girl from Indianapolis was trying to kill her. So they put them all three in the cell together to protect you. The two of them sisters and one of my half-sister. I go down there and they bring Heather out and then they bring the other girl out. And they give me what they call a pastoral visit. And I sit and talk to them. And listen to this. I'm talking about, I've never had to get one of my grandchildren out of jail. I've never seen one of them ever on drugs. That's a blessing, amen. I love life, amen. You think about how good God's been to you. Is this not dumb? If you go before a judge, and that judge looks down at you and says, if you come back before me, I'm going to give you 90 days probation. If you come back before me, you will go and you'll serve 2 full years. And that judge is stern, right? That judge is absolutely unequivocally. He is dead rock serious. He's got them half glasses like Larry wears down on his nose. And that judge told her, said, if you come back in here, you'll pull your full 2 years. Can you believe this? She broke her parole and had to go back in jail again. She got out of jail, and I guess what? I just went and visited her Thursday. And guess what? The judge told her, her mother told her, everybody told her, when you get out of jail, do not be with a felony. You cannot be with anybody that's got a felony. The first thing she done, she hooked up with this boy that was a registered felony, and guess what? She's back in jail again. Now think about it for a moment. What if that was your grandchildren? Would y'all say something to me or nod your head? God's been good to you, amen. You've never had to go to a morgue or you've never had to lay one of your children out in a coffin. God's been good to you, amen. He that loves life. You won't see me too much burn out on life. Let me show you this. Go back, look at it. He that will love life. He that will love life. You don't even know what life is until you know the Son of God. Hey, look here. You can join every church, be baptized, every creek and holler. This lady I'm fixing to tell you about. See, salvation is more than being religious. You must have a personal, intimate relationship with the Son of God. These three girls, the reason why they're in jail and they're going to serve 2 full years, and I'm talking about in their 20s, is over meth and crack cocaine. Meth and crack cocaine. I hate drugs of the passion. This little old girl, she's so emaciated, her eyes is back in her head, she don't weigh. She looks, I'm telling you before God, she's only in her 20s, but she looks 50. That's what sin will do to you. She's got tattoos all over her, down here and up there. And I used to carry her when she was a little girl at church. But yet I'm saying, watch this, I'm talking about she's got 2 children. And I'm not telling how many men she's been with. What I'm saying is there's a void and a vacuum in your life. Religion cannot fill that void. The only way it can fill it is to have an intimate relationship with the Son of God. And then you can say, man, I love life. Man, I've been pardoned. Woo! I have an absolute full pardon of my sins. That's wonderful. Now go back. Oh, there's a guy come over to Radio Revival Hour last week. And he said, hey, preacher, you don't remember me, do you? And I looked at him and I was trying to. His name's James Middleton. And he's got that full beard and his hair's gray. I said, no. He said, you and I went to school together. I said, boy, you've changed. He looked at me and said, y'all look in the mirror. But the first thing he brought up was, he and I used to get stone drunk together. Ain't that a sight? That's the first thing he brought up. I said, James, I got saved when I was 19. I said, thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore. I said, I admit I was one messed up individual. I admit that. And I said, James, but when God saved me, God forgave me of everything I've ever done. You may remember it, but God will never remember it. Isn't that a blessing? That's the reason why I love life. Amen. Let me show you this. Go back and look in your Bible. He that will love life and do what? And see good days. So everyone in here said, boy, I love life. I want good days to come. Let me show you this. Go back and look in your Bible. Look in verse 12. Ready? Look in verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and the ears are his ears up on their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. When I read that, go back to verse 11. Look in verse 11. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain. Watch this. Refrain his tongue from evil. Your tongue is evil, whether we accept that or not. The Bible says in verses 12, he says, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. But in verse 11, he plainly says this. I'm sorry, verse 10. And he says, and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. I was going to preach on a little red wagon. It's always red and it's always wagging. It's called your tongue. Go over to the book of James with me right quick. Go over there, I want to show you this. Boy, you say, boy, brother, listen, I want good days to come in my life. Then it says, refrain your tongue, amen. Could I tell you something? Look up here. Everybody look at these beady eyes of mine. Look at me. The drunks is not giving our churches any problem. The whores out here, the thieves, the robbers, they're not giving our churches any problem. It's coming from within. It's coming from within. Let me show you this. Now watch this. Ready? Go to the book of James with me. And I want you to read with me. I believe it's it. I'll tell you, get there just a moment. Look in James, please, in chapter 3. I want you to read with me, please. It's so good that I can't just let it go. Look in verse 3, please, in James 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Anybody ever used to ride horses? You ever ride horses? The first thing you do is you take that horse and you get a bit in his mouth. Go look at your mouth. And James says, we put bits in the horse's mouth and we learn how to turn him. But look in verse 4. Behold, the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Hey, if you want to see good days, you better learn to refrain your tongue. Did you know you can live gun barrel straight, do one thing wrong, and people remember the wrong and never remember the good. And they'll rail on you, they'll assassinate your character. The drunks is not, the drunk, listen, some of the best, some of these old drunks and winos, they're good friends of mine. They're not the ones that start these accusations against me. It's usually people sitting on church pews. Would y'all look up here a moment? Mr. South Africa. Vincent, I like that. Dr. What's that last name? What? Dr. Vincent Piotta. Don't that sound good? The Life and Times of Dr. Vincent Piotta. Man, life, that sounds good. I'm just picking Mr. South Africa. Can you believe this? My wife and I have been married 48 years, and can you believe that they had my wife and I divorced? Me taken up with a woman down in North Carolina, and my wife had done moved out and we had separated. Guess where it was started at? In a church. Now there's some things, boy, you don't want to pick on me about. One of them is, do not on integrity or honesty. Or the cause of Christ, but this individual, she overheard a conversation about a man and woman got a divorce, and she immediately put my name in there. I found out about it. I got on the phone, and I called her, and I said, "Ma'am, I'm 3 hours from you." I said, "I can be there in a matter of 3 hours." But I said, "You owe me an apology. You owe the church an apology." I said, "My wife and I are not divorced." It went everywhere. It went everywhere that my wife and I, that I'd already taken up with some woman. I wish I had a mirror so Dolly Jones would face. The drunks didn't do that. I'm saying your tongue is set on fire of hell. Look here. One of the greatest illustrations I've ever got in my life is this. A man talking about how that we start rumors on people and it comes from your tongue. He went and took an old pillowcase full of feathers. And this woman was bad for gossiping. And he's trying to teach her a lesson. So he ripped open the feather pillow and he shook it out the window. And he said, "Now go pick up all the feathers." She said, "That's an impossibility." He said, "The same way with your tongue. Same identical way with gossip. You can't never take it all back." It's like one of the great preachers used to wear a string tie. And this woman said, "I want you to know your tie offends me." He says, "Anybody in here got a pair of scissors?" So they go get her a pair of scissors, and she trims his tie. She trims it, makes it look real good. He said, "Is that satisfactory?" She said, "Yeah." He said, "Now stick your tongue out. Your tongue is an offense to me." Go back, look. You'll get that in a minute. 1 Peter 3. If you're going to see good days in life, learn this, to refrain your tongue. Keep your tongue from evil. My preacher and I are sitting in the middle of Cracker Barrel. We get to go do that occasionally. We're sitting in Cracker Barrel. Everybody and their brother, this girl's name is Dawn. She was our server, and she usually waits on me and Noah. And she was asking me about my health, and I appreciate everybody asking me about my health. And I appreciate people about being concerned. And she was standing there. And I said, "Miss Don, could I ask you a question?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Miss Don," I said, "if you was to die, would you go to heaven or hell?" In the middle of Cracker Barrel. Boy, she teared up. She said, "I'd like to think I'd go to heaven." I said, "Well, what do you base that on? You like to think you'd go to heaven." I said, "I know I'm going to go to heaven." Well, anyway, about that time, she had to go to another table. In a few minutes, she came right back. You know what she told me? She says, I've never had nobody to ever ask me if I was to die, would I go to heaven or hell? Boy, immediately I got under conviction. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, we talk about everything, and this tongue is what enunciates words. Amen. We talk about everything except the right things. Did you know, according to the book of James, did you know your tongue is a dangerous thing if you're looking at verse 6? Look in James in chapter 3, look in verse 6. It's a dangerous thing. What do you mean by that, brother Sisson? I mean, our tongue is a dangerous thing. It assassinates people's character. Amen. It ruins homes. It ruins churches. Look in your Bible, James 3, verse 6. What do you mean, preacher? Look at it. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defiles the whole body. People go out here and start a rumor about Brother Richardson. Then they'll go tell somebody else, and they'll go tell somebody else. First thing you know, it's all over Madisonville. And then they're not tell a preacher because he's sure enough to tell the whole United States. There's some preacher I don't share nothing with. What do you mean by that, brother? Your tongue is a dangerous thing, amen. Let me show you this. Go look in your Bible. Not only that, it defiles the whole body. Look in your Bible. It plainly says in verse 6, it defileth the whole body. The tongue. How many of y'all remember back in the book of Exodus? How many of y'all remember that Israel got in trouble for what? Murmuring. Murmuring. Murmuring, talking, murmuring, complaining. God help us, amen. Well, y'all could say, I want to see good days. The Bible says in the book of James, not only does it say the tongue is dangerous, not only defiles the whole body, but verse 7 says this, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed, hath men been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. That's what the book says. No, the Bible says no man can tame this tongue. Boy, if the Holy Ghost living down inside of you, we ought to get under conviction about our tongues. It plainly says, if you go back, it says, if you want to see good days, refrain your tongue from evil. The tongue is dangerous. It defiles the whole body. It's a deadly thing. It's a deadly thing. Let me show you this. Go back to the book of 1 Peter, please, chapter 3. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, if you want to see them good days and love life, I mean, that's what the Bible says in verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Well, watch this. Not only that, look in verse 11. Let him do what? Eschew evil. Did y'all see that? I mean, if you want good days in your life, do what, brother, sister? Avoid it. Keep away from it, amen. Keep away. Can I tell y'all something? I am about ready to take a .44 Magnum and shoot my TV. Let me tell you what I mean. We ain't had a real moving of God since television came into existence. That don't go over good with people, but I'm telling you the truth. All right, you let things go through the eye gate, and then it gets into your mind, right? I come home. I was in my study. I come from my study up to the house. My 14-year-old grandson, Dylan, he was sitting in the lounge, and he had his computer on his lap, and he was working on his computer. Well, I come through the house, and I looked over to the TV, and it was about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and down at the bottom, it said, Family Channel. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? It says right down here, Family Channel. Well, I just looked over at the TV, and I said, what in the world is that on that television? I can't tell you in a mixed audience how bad it was. Okay, I said, Dylan, he said, Papa, I'm not watching TV. The language, why would they put it on at 5 o'clock in the afternoon? They're targeting our young people. Amen, Sisson. Amen, Brother Sisson. He that will love life and see good days, let him eschew evil. Keep away from it. How many of y'all would agree with me? There's things in my mind I would to God was not in there. Am I the only one in this building? I'd give anything if the thing had an edit button so I could just edit it out of there. Brother Noble would tell you my mind's done been edited. But I'd give anything if I had a button up there, I could push it all out of there. Don't anybody see where this is going? Don't nobody even care where it's going? Brother, I do. I'm telling you, it's nothing but bedroom scene. How many of y'all remember Dallas on television years ago back? Was it 60s or 70s? Dallas? Who killed JR? I don't care. Do y'all remember that? Man, what they done back then ain't nothing compared to how terrible it is today. But it's going to get... What do you mean, preacher? Let him... eschew evil. Keep away from it. I hadn't been in a bar in Great Day in probably 35 or 40 years of my life. I was in Madison, North Carolina, and the preacher asked me, he said, Brother Sisson, said, let's go downtown Pioneer Day in Madison, North Carolina. He and I was walking, he's an elderly man. So me and him is walking downtown Madison, North Carolina, and there was the biggest boar hog anybody ever seen a hog? I'm talking about a male hog. They're great big things, and it had a leather harness on it, had a pair of sunglasses. Ugliest pig I ever seen in my life. And it was owned by a doctor and his house broken and slept on the couch. A pig. He wanted me to see that pig. Weighed 500 and some pounds. I'd eat that tenderloin. So anyway, I'm down there in the middle of Madison, North Carolina, and I'm wanting me a cup of coffee. It's sort of cold. And I said, hey, Doc, where can I get me a cup of coffee? Not paying any attention. He said, right there. So I just stepped inside, and guess what it was? A bar. I about died. He laughed. He got down in the floor laughing at me. Because I was standing right inside of a bar. Phew. And I used to live in them things. Here it was Saturday. One of them honky-tonk things. And I thought to myself, I used to live in this slop pen. I used to be there all the time. When I stepped back outside, I told the preacher, God bless his heart, he's already... I said, don't you do that to me no more. He laughed. He told the whole church that night I was in a bar. But please listen to me. Some of y'all would say, Brother Sisson, talking about what we put in our minds in bars and hell holes... I'm saying, the Bible says, let him eschew it, keep away from it, get away from it. Let me show you this, 1 Peter chapter 3. He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and then guess what? Eschew evil, avoid it, keep away. Don't you wish somehow or another we could protect these young people? That little old girl that's in that jail up there in her 20s, they ain't no telling how many abortions that child's had. They ain't no telling what all she's been involved in. In fact, when they arrested her, she was at an attorney's party in Somerset. An attorney dressed like a call girl. I've seen her in the middle of Walmart. I love the little girl, and I try my best to tell her, sin will take you farther and farther and farther away. And then you wind up one day and you say, I never believed it would ever happen to me. I've got as blunt with her as I know how to get blunt with her. Sin is pleasurable, but it's only for a season. Let's go back, look in 1 Peter 3. We're talking about loving life and seeing good days. Refrain your tongue from evil. Verse 11, eschew evil. But look, if you don't mind what the Bible says, watch it. And do good. Did y'all see that? I have been criticized, ostracized, because that we try our best. There's about 20 of us men that just like, we don't want nobody patting us on the back. We just like to help people. Don't you think we ought to help people? Would y'all let me show you this just for a moment? Turn over to the book of Galatians. I can quote it, but I'd rather read it to you. Go to Galatians, please, with me. And I believe it's chapter 6. Look, if you don't mind, in your Bible. Look in verses. Well, let me read verse 10. We're talking about loving life, and we're talking about good days in your life. What do you mean, brother, sister? Refrain your tongue from evil, shew evil, and then do good. Anybody here while you're turning to Galatians? Have you ever done anything, something special for somebody? Nobody knew about it. You just helped them. Do y'all remember the elation or the feeling that come over you? That's what you're really put here for. You know, let me read Galatians 6. Look at verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, Paul said, let us do what? Say it back to me. Say it back to me. Let us do good unto all men. And then he says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We're talking about good days in your life. We're talking about loving life. All right, he says, do good. Do good. That's what the book says. Could I tell you something? If you get out here and get busy, you'll find you don't have it near as bad as you think you had it. Amen, preacher system. You know, I was in this church, and don't get upset at me now. I'm looking at your faces. I said, you young people need something more to do than play a game. I said, why don't you go down here to them elderly people? Why don't you clean their gutters out? Why don't you mow their grass? Why don't you I don't know how to tell this without it sounding... This elderly man, I think he is 80, and his wife is like in her upper 78 or 79 years old. They got a grandson. He's one of these takers. Do y'all know what I mean? He's a grandson, but he just takes and takes and takes. He's always there for his handout. Do y'all know what I mean by that? But Brother Dorsey, God bless his heart, here he is 80 years old, and he's going to get up there and clean his gutters out. That sorry grandson ought to got up there and helped him clean them gutters out. I told him that night at church, I said, I did. I've known the boy. I said, son, you ought to go help your grandpa. He shouldn't have to be climbing a ladder. What if he fell off and broke his hip? Boy, y'all are quiet in here. There's all kinds of things we could do and do good. Amen. There's all kinds. You could go to the nursing home. One of the joys of my life, anybody outside of me ever get depressed? I'd come home and sometimes everything, it just seemed like everything in the world fell in on me. I mean everything, financially, everything in the world. I'd get Nathan and I'd say, son, come on. He'd get in the car, get in the truck with me. Me and him would take off to Somerset. I got a lady up there at a florist shop. She would give me handfuls of carnations. Sometimes roses. And me and Nathan would go down to the nursing home and just hand out carnations. Hand out roses. They loved to see that little old boy. We'd go in there and they'd pet on him and rub on him. He'd hand them a carnation. And it, hey, Mr. South Africa, I wouldn't get to the third door, I'd be out of my depression. Y'all don't understand a word I said, did you? Well, I mean, I wouldn't get to the third patient till I'd be out of my depression, amen. Boy, here's what kills me, they'll say. How come my children don't come to see me? How come my grandkids don't come to see me? Boy, and this now, this really blows me out of the water. I used to teach Sunday school, and my class used to, when they first put me in the nursing home, they'd come and see me, but they don't come no more. That kills me. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? We're to do good, amen. That's what the Bible says. Now go back, look if you heard it. Go back to the book of 1 Peter. So we're to refrain our tongue from evil. We're to eschew evil, keep away from it, do good. And then guess what? Do good unto all men, especially to the household of faith. Could I tell you something? Boy, I love old Jay. Boy, I miss him sitting there. He ought to be there tonight. Wait till I see him next time. He's in trouble. How old is Jay? Was 8? Do y'all ever have a senior's day around here? If you don't, you ought to. Here a while back, we had a roll call at our church. Roll call. Of how many people that we have buried. Sometimes, Brother Lawrence, sometimes they just need somebody to put the arms around them. I'm talking about people sitting on church pews. They don't have to be elderly. Them young people back there, I don't have to agree with what they do, but I have to try to understand why they do what they do. Every now and then, boy, sometimes they just need somebody to listen to them. What I'm saying is we're all in the same boat. Amen. Amen. Sometimes the world, the flesh, the devil camps at our doorstep, and every now and then we just need somebody to exhort us, to encourage us. That's doing good. Let me show you this. Go back and look in 1 Peter 3. That's going to really get good. Look in your Bible. Watch this. What I mean, if you want good days and you love life, watch this. Peter says this, let him eschew evil and do good, but let him seek peace. Did y'all see that? Would you raise your hand? Seek peace. I mean, what do you mean that? But says, ensue it, follow after it, pursue the thing. Amen. But could I tell you, would y'all let me confess and y'all ain't no priest? Oh, yes, you are. Revelation says we're a priest under God. But I'm just not confessing no priest. Could y'all let me confess something to you for a minute? Did anybody ever get out of sorts with yourself? Am I the only one? Brother, when I get out of sorts with Melvin, you won't be around me. Especially when I ain't slept in about 3 days. I don't know how y'all feel, but it's wonderful to be at peace with yourself. Look back in 1 Peter 3. Do what? Let him seek peace. Well, I thought Romans 5, the Bible says, I thought we got peace the moment we got saved. I'm not talking about that kind of peace. I'm talking about peace with yourself. Boy, we're living in an upset, troubled world. And boy, everybody down Christmas time, especially about next week, especially around Somerset, this aggravates me and infuriates me. They can't say Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays! I said, does that include Groundhog's Day? honestly, around about a week before Christmas or right now, everybody is geared up to do what? Say it to me. Say it. Christmas. They're troubled. They're perplexed. There's got turmoil in their life. Go back to what Peter says. We're talking about, let him seek peace. It's found at the foot of the cross. Amen, Brother Sisson. I'm not at peace with yourself. See, if you got peace with yourself, you'll be at peace with others. And to be honest with you, boy, that's what our churches need. Amen. Let me go back now. Watch it. Peace with ourselves. All right, what do you mean, Brother Sisson? I've never seen so many people so bitter and angry. Have you ever seen that? I'm talking about sitting on church pews. Bitter, angry, upset, unnerved. Amen, Preacher Sisson. Nerves are just on the end. Let me show you this. Now watch this. Go back looking at verse 11. Ready? Let him eschew evil and do good, but let him seek peace and ensue it. What do you mean, Brother Sisson? I mean follow after it, pursue it, get rid of the bitterness, get rid of the anger, get rid of... People cannot forgive people. Watch this. Peace with others. Anybody outside me ever been done wrong? I'm not looking. I mean, you ever been have anybody do you wrong? I wish I had a mirror so y'all looked y'all faces. All right, if you got peace with yourself, that means you'll have peace with others. But I'm talking about when people do you wrong, what do you do with it? What do you do with it? How do you handle it? Do you let it eat at you and gnaw at you? I went to this man recently and I said, have I done something to you? What have I done that I need to apologize or ask you to forgive me for? He looked at me and he got real quiet and his face got pale. And he said, Brother Sisson, said, you haven't done anything to me. He said, it's just me. It's just me. And for a few minutes he told me all the things that was going on in his life. And I thought, dear God. And me asking him if I'd done anything, that just piled it on him. Amen, Preacher Sisson. Do good. Love life. See good days. How you do that, Brother Sisson? Number one, refrain your tongue. Number two, eschew evil. Number three, do good. Number four, seek peace. Seek it, ensue it, follow after it. Whatever you do, do this. I'm not going to pack bitterness around by the help and grace of God. I'm not going to pack that stuff around. I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm not going to let that stuff gnaw at me. I like to sleep too good. But when you don't have peace with yourself, you don't sleep good. When you're at odds with other people, you don't sleep good either. Or you shouldn't sleep good. Okay. He that loves life, and then it says, and wants good days. It's enumerated found in 1 Peter 3. Let's stand, bow our heads, close our eyes. Brother Bradley's going to come. How many of you would be honest with me and you'd say, Brother Sisson, I want them good days. If they're out there, I want them. Amen. Raise your hand up if you really mean, I want them good days in my life. Well, he enumerates them. Boy, I believe this with all my heart. I believe this. I'm as convinced as breathing air. It's found in 1 Peter 3. He that loves life and wants good days in his life. Boy, I don't want to drag into heaven. I want the Lord to be pleased with me. I don't want to just drag in. As Brother Chris said this morning, when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I don't believe it's going to be as easy as everybody thinks it's going to be. When you see that instant replay of your life. Lord Jesus, we love you. Would you please help us, Lord, to refrain our tongues? God, would you please help us, Lord, to ensue that peace, seek after it. Help us, Lord, to do good. Lord, there's people here probably just need somebody to encourage them. Lord, with all the things that Grace has got going on in the school, and Lord, I think about Miss Sharon. I think about Brother Lawrence. I think about Brother Bradley. I think about, Lord, having to tolerate and, Lord, put up with the things they have to put up with. Lord, I'm glad one day when you say, Lord, enter thou in, it'll be worth it all. God bless these dear people in a special way. Help us, Lord, to seek them good days. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. Maybe you'd like to come tonight and just fall on your knees and say, God, I want them good days in my life. Let's sing, Brother Bradley.